San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 29, 2023. Today's lesson is Your True Self with guest speaker, Reverend Mark Obkamp.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. Welcome home. Because that's where we are. We are in our spiritual home right here, right now. As we prepare for today, this morning's lesson, let us anchor ourselves in the truth that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that living spirit, that one power, God, the living spirit almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existing cause in which we live and move and have our being. And do you know why we anchor ourselves in that truth every week? Because it is indeed our truth. We are all one. We are all part of that creative power that put us here. We were all created in love. And we are love itself, expressing itself. So, let's get down to business. Our theme for the center this year is living life wholly, W-H-O-L-Y. And I am really excited about today's lesson because it follows within our monthly theme of root and reboot. Well, that's a really catchy phrase, and it probably means something a little different to each one of us. But let me share with you what it means to me. The root part of this phrase is about planting seeds, setting intentions, and if you weren't able to attend our intention setting ceremony, guess what? You still have a chance to get in on the process. Just see either Dr. Connie, our licensed practitioner Noble, or myself after service, and we will walk you through the process. It is always good to plant our own seeds at the beginning, which starts right here, right where you are, right now, and allow them to grow. But be aware, for what you plant today with the sunshine of faith and the watering of your soul will manifest to the extent of your belief. Make sure to water these seeds with loving thoughts, the light of joy, and the warmth of belief, because the universe can only give to the extent and acceptance of our belief. As you plant these seeds, plant them with the knowledge that it is already done, and it will be so. And what about reboot? Well, for me, this simply means getting back to basics. The science of mind principles, as with most universal principles, are really quite simple. But sometimes, in our own lovely human way, we begin to overthink things. And then these basic principles become muddled in the recesses of our stinking thinking. When really, all we need are faith, trust, and belief. In other words, if we plant a daisy seed, we better not expect to get strawberries. What we have planted in our garden will manifest to the extent of our beliefs. So this month, we have started with first things first. And I'm going to be getting back to that in just a minute. And then Dr. Connie helped us to understand the universal voice. Or Om, the one voice that helps to guide us all. I like to think of it as intuition on an individual level and powerful beyond measure when it comes to the group and cosmic consciousness. Now think about that, intuition. We've all been given intuition. We've all been given that little voice inside that sometimes tells us Yes? Probably not. And if we listen, we're always guided properly. If we don't listen, we might get a gentle tap, or we might get hit with a cosmic 2x4. I prefer to get the gentle tap. So part of that intuition, I've got to explain a little bit about our song this morning. But before I do that, I'm going to explain about our internal song, because we also talked about the song within. And our internal song, that knowingness, that spiritual presence within, is a feeling far more than anything else. Anything else, because that's our intuition. And last week we learned about one of the most important seeds in our garden, gratitude. Well, for me, if we are not grateful for things we have, then how can we possibly expect to bring more good into our experience? Even in the hardest of times and the saddest of times, there is always, always something to be grateful for. For me, at this point in time, there are a couple of things that work. First and foremost, I bring myself back to the knowingness of my sacred connection with the One. That's the important one. We are sacredly connected. The creator of all that is, the entire essence of my true being. Yes, I may be having a human experience of my own creation, but God always has my back, no matter what. I have to remember, and I have to bring myself back to the point that I am a divine being, learning a divine lesson through a human experience. And right here, right now, in this very second, despite any appearance to the contrary, all is well. I am fine. And secondly, if those things that surround me are not fine, then I have the power of the universe, the power of all ages, to help open me up to better manifestations. In other words, plain and simple, in any situation, once again, God has my back. I just simply need to trust and have faith. And of course, know the truth. And what is the truth? I've mentioned it. That we are divine beings. And we are having a human experience. We chose to be here. We chose to have this experience. We chose to learn the lessons before we came. Of course, we don't remember that because we have a nice little wipeout when we're born. But you know what? We still always have that sacred connection. We still always know that we have that God presence within us. And if we don't know that, it's only because we've cut it off. Not God, not the universe, we have. Won't it be exciting someday to move through the life veil and find out all of the things that we've forgotten so that we were able to learn these valuable lessons? But not yet. I'm enjoying the learning process way too much. More and more these days, I find myself so comfortable in this being that I can't help but ask, joyfully, what's next? I really enjoy being this creation and can't wait to find out what more I have open to myself, because there's a lot to receive yet. And after all, the gifts of the universe are limitless, and all that I need to do is be open to receive. And so today, I get to introduce us to our true selves. When I received the title for today's talk, my mind went one way, and that still small voice within said, I mean, I had a talk all pretty much planned and outlined, and it was So I started listening. And once I started listening, right at the very beginning, our special music for the opening of our lesson today literally was the gift of the universe. We got to hear Changing My Narrative by Fearless Soul. Now, the story behind that is that I have music feeds once in a while on my cell phone, on my, you know, Facebook. I'd never heard of this group. I'd never heard of the song. And there it was. And I was going to pass it up. And that little voice said, listen. So I listened. And the interesting thing is, when I called Dr. Connie with a suggestion for the song for this lesson, she heard the group Fearless Soul, and then she ended up using one of their songs earlier in the month. They told a friend, and they told two friends, and they told two friends. It's just the way the universe works. We can't help it. It's a universal law. Once we put that power and presence, that seed, that thought out there, it's going to manifest. It's going to grow. So be careful what seeds you're planting in your garden. I've already mentioned that there is one power, one presence, and one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And since that power and presence, no matter what each individual chooses to call it or conceptualize it, no matter what each of our sacred connection to it might happen to be, and how we allow it to manifest to us, would it not logically follow that if it has had the power to create all that is, that we would also be part of its creation? Of course we are. There's no way that we can't be. And that's what's so cool. And if there is only one presence in which we live and move and have our being, that we would have the same mind as that creator. Yes and yes. Now, in the Science of Mind textbook, which was written by Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, we are told on page 343, paragraph 2, a little bit about the cosmic consciousness and our true self. Ernest Holmes says that, quote, cosmic consciousness is not a mystery. It is the self-knowingness of God through man. The more complete the operation of that power, the more complete is man's conscious mentality. For the illumined do not become less, but more themselves. So as we learn, as we grow, we become more of that God presence within us. How cool is that? And he goes on to say, the greater the consciousness of God, the more complete must be the realization of the true self, the true divine reality. Of course. It's so simple, and yet it's so complicated. Why? Once again, because we complicate it. And so there you have it. Our divine reality, our true self, is our oneness with the Creator, its creation, and all things. So you might be asking yourself, what about this one mind thing? And why aren't we having the same thought at the same time? Good question. That's because we are individual expressions of the One, each on our own path, each at our own awareness and place of enlightenment. So we're not all exactly the same. That's why we're the individual expressions of the One. And each one of us possesses the greatest gifts ever given: free will and volition. Plus, there's the whole realm of quantum physics and different planes. and so on. But let's root. I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to keep it simple today. The universal intelligence is living its human experience through us. And the really great thing about all of this is that as we, on our own paths, having our own human experiences, we get to add to the whole. Each of us, with each thought, with each word, with each action, is adding to the human experience of the divine. Did you know we're God's playthings? We are. God is living this human experience through us. Now there's the back and forth on this, and people ask, well, if God knows everything, then God already knows what you're going to do with this situation and what the outcome is going to be, and that's true. But we have been given the free will and volition so we can learn that for ourselves. God doesn't need to really learn the lessons. God knows the lessons. But we get to learn for ourselves because we are the children of a loving Creator. And the loving Creator has given us that right. So we add to the cosmic consciousness with every thought, every deed, every action. And the mind of creation is open at the top. So it's open. Stuff comes in here, filters out, filters through, and then goes on. But where is on? Well, there's one universe and another universe and another universe. And those universes, as far as we know, keep growing, keep changing. And there are new universes being created. We don't see them. We don't live in them. So we may or may not believe in them. Doesn't matter. It does not matter, because as creation is open at the top, so are we. We are open to receive. So I'm going to look at this a little more in just a few minutes. But for now, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the tools that we can use to be our best selves. Ever. One of the tools that I use daily, and not just once a day, is doing my best to look at everything through the eyes of gratitude. No matter how much turmoil is going on around me, I try to find the good in everything. And if I'm having trouble with that, I move into the silence. I ask myself, where can I find the love in this situation? But, you know, I'm looking for it. And that's the first step, is to recognize that it's there somewhere. It's like the kids that were cleaning up manure in the barn. And one kid's complaining and griping and moaning about the manure in the barn as he's cleaning it. The other one's just singing his way through and having a good old time. And, you know, well, the one kid who's griping and complaining, ask his friend, why are you so happy? We're cleaning up poop. And his friend says, because with all this poop, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So if I'm having trouble finding the pony, I move myself into the silence and ask myself, where can I find the love? Where can I find the love in this situation? Often has to do with finding forgiveness within my heart or looking at my thinking around any given situation. And then I remind myself that no matter how it looks, or how it feels, that God is in every situation. And that means that God is here right now as well. So if I'm choosing to act a certain way or open myself to negativity, why am I doing that? And I go back to some of the areas that I may need to reboot. In his book, The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz gives us some very good advice. The four agreements are: 1, be impeccable with your word; 2, don't take anything personally; 3, don't make assumptions, and we all know what happens when you make assumptions; and 4, always do your best. A good place to go when we take that deep breath. And this is my take on those agreements. 1, be impeccable with your word. In doing this, I often find myself saying to myself, think before you speak. As Ralph Waldo Emerson put it, I need to step aside from my bloated nothingness, which happens to be the ego, and listen. Where are those hurtful things that I'm about to say coming from? Words are things, and they are very powerful. So if you are going to have to apologize for those words afterwards, or cause pain or damage, just let them go. The thought. Thoughts are also things. And that thought you had before you spoke those words was damage enough. Don't take things personally. Really important one for me to have learned. So while you are holding back on the words, allow yourself to move back from your feelings around the situation. Even though it may appear that, and you are sure that, the situation or words may be completely about you, they never really are. Remember that bloated nothingness, also known as the ego? It's not about you. It's really probably not about where someone else thinks that it's coming from either. It simply is and needs to go back into the nothingness from where it came. And certainly, if something is directed at me, as Dr. Wayne Dyer stated, what you think of me is none of my business. It's really not. So let it go. Remember, one of the highest places that we can get to is to be independent of the opinions of others. Even if they are being extremely hurtful or mean or angry, it is always my choice to ignore them and not to return them. Anger, hatred, violence breed more. So do remember, in this life, it is all about choice. We are certainly not cowards deciding to avoid confrontation. No matter how difficult it may be to do so, just release it. Walk away from it. It's just not worth it. Don't make assumptions. You know, we have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. And let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. When we assume something, how often do we later realize that these assumptions may have been incorrect? Incorrect is a nice word. They might have been totally off base and completely wrong. When we assume something, We believe them to be true because we have taken something personally. So think about that. We took it personally, so we already violated the second agreement. Now we're making assumptions. We're violating the third agreement. And we have to move on. We lose sight of being impeccable with our word if we start making assumptions. And then, what happens? We open our mouth and we spew out verbal poison. Words are things. Words can be hurtful, words can be loving. They are things. Think about this for a moment. How much of the drama in our lives has been brought about simply because we assume something to be other than it really was? Are you beginning to see how we are responsible for the toxins, the angers, the hurts, the self-blame that we often become accustomed to in our lives? Everything we think, do, or say contributes to who we have become. Again, I cannot stress the importance of forgiveness and gratitude in our lives. Be grateful for right here, right now. And if you don't like something that's going on around you, release it. Let it go. If it's bothering you, if it's making you not feel good, it's not worth holding on to. 4, always do your best. Now this one, at least for me, is easy. I believe that at any time, in any situation, we are always, always striving to do our best in that particular moment. Sometimes we fall short, but it doesn't mean that we weren't doing our best. All that means, when we come across as being less than, in one way or another, is that we need to relook at it. We get to root and reboot. We get to assess the situation, learn from it, forgive ourselves and others, and then be grateful for the learning opportunity, let the situation go, and realize that this too is part of the human process. It was just another lesson. And so in the midst of this human being, this sometimes chaotic existence, let us remember the peace that abides within, the inner knowing and the truth that we are one with all that is. And when we are feeling apart from the one has not left us, but we may have chosen to separate ourselves from all that is. And how do we get back on track? We start at the beginning. We become still and know our oneness with the one absolute, indestructible, self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. So take a breath in and out. Take another one even deeper. It's going to be okay. And so are you ready to root and reboot? Yes and yes? Okay, good. So become comfortable in your seats. Put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I affirm that this divine presence,
is leading me on the pathway of peace.
It is directing my thoughts,
my words and my actions,
into constructive channels of self-expression. It is uniting me with others in love. In kindness and consideration. Therefore today I accept the joy of life. In gladness I recognize the kingdom of God.
In gladness, I recognize the kingdom of God.
That is within me.
I know that today the law of good
is bringing into my experience everything necessary to my happiness. And knowing there can be no good to myself alone.
For God is in all people.
I affirm for others,
that which I accept for myself.
And so it is.
And
so it is.
So take a couple more deep cleansing breaths. You have affirmed not only your own peace, but the peace of the planet and others as well. And so we've already talked about it a little bit. Do you know what tomorrow is? I do. It's the first day for the observance of the season of nonviolence, which first began in 1998, was established by Arun Gandhi Mohandas, Gandhi's grandson, as a yearly event celebrating the philosophies and lives of Mohandas Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is a global grassroots campaign dedicated to raising awareness about the healing and transformative power of nonviolence. From its inception, it has grown into an important educational and media opportunity to bring communities together, empowering them to envision and help create a nonviolent world, one heart and one day at a time. Throughout the 64-day campaign, events and activities reflecting peace and nonviolence take place around the world, highlighting existing peace-building initiatives and inspiring new year-round activities for a more peaceful and nonviolent world. The idea was developed with the help of Dr. Michael Beckwith and Dr. Mary Morrissey of the Association for Global New Thought and the Parliament of the World's Religions. The season begins with the anniversary of the assassination of Mohandas Gandhi on January 30th and culminates on April 4th on the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At our center, we begin this observance by reading our Congressional Pledge for Nonviolence. And as consecutive Sundays, we will use our 64 ways and 64 days as a gentle reminder of what peace may mean to us. So please remove the pledge. It looks like this. And if you should feel so inclined, we will read the pledge together. I will read the bold-faced print, and we will then read the pledges below the statements together in community. San Diego Center for Spiritual Living Congressional Pledge of Nonviolence. Making peace must start within ourselves, in our families, and in our congregation. Each of us, members of the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, commit ourselves as best as we can to become nonviolent and peaceable people, to respect self and others, to respect myself, to affirm others, and to avoid uncaring criticism, hateful words, physical attacks, and self-destruct power, to communicate better,
to share my feelings honestly,
to look solidarious, to express my anger, and to work at solving problems peacefully, to listen carefully to one another, especially those who disagree with me, and to consider others' feelings and needs rather than insist on having my own way, to forgive, to apologize and make amends when I have hurt another, to forgive others, and to keep from holding grudges, to respect nature, to treat the environment and all living things with respect and care, to recreate nonviolently, to promote athletic and recreational activities that encourage cooperation, and to avoid social activities that make violence look exciting, funny, or acceptable. To be courageous, to challenge violence in all forms whenever I encounter it, whether at home, at work, in the congregation, or in the community, and to stand with others who are treated unfairly. This is our pledge. These are our goals. We will check ourselves on what we have pledged once a year on the last Sunday in January, so that we can help each other become more peaceful people. eliminating violence, one congregation at a time, starting with our own. And so now let us read the first pledge of the 64 ways and 64 days for tomorrow together. It's in the little fold, purple foldout that you have. And it's really simple, so I'll read it and then we can read it all together. Today I will reflect on what peace means to me. Today I will reflect on what peace means to me. And I would like you to reflect on this for a moment as I finish off today's lesson with a quote from Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker in Richer Living. In the midst of me is the stillness of God. Calmly and quietly, I take from the spirit of good. I feel this inner peace in my life this day, and I give peace to my world this day. And from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. There are people everywhere who want to help create a better world. People who are deeply concerned about this world's widespread suffering, destruction, escalating materialism, and the loss of our sense of community. There is a deep and growing hunger for a wiser and more loving society. Gandhi and King modeled their visions to create such a society. They knew that the power for social change lies within each individual consciousness. That if we want to create a wise and loving world, we must first become wise and loving ourselves. With a vision of a society governed by love and the common good, we have a powerful antidote to the violence, distrust, and division of today's politics, based on fear. As we begin to practice the realizational principles of nonviolence, we are seeking to recover and renew ourselves, our families, and our politics, so that violence and secrecy no longer shape our behavior. Learning to become nonviolent is a new way of living, requiring a healing process that begins with the individual and ripples out into our communities and into our world. As we heal our own relations, we are demonstrating that people, organizations, and governments can move the world proactively toward peace and a deeper wisdom. And this, my friend, is what the universal mind is all about. I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.